Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, May 22nd. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan. We begin, by necessity, with some news that broke yesterday afternoon, pending a civil lawsuit that has been filed against BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff. The suit accused Retzlaff of sexual assault and battery stemming from a November 2023 incident with an unnamed woman. There have been no criminal charges filed stemming from these allegations.
Mark Bouty, Retzlaff's lawyer, issued the following statement. I've met him. He's a nice young man. He is also factually innocent, and we look forward to proving that innocence. Jake's focus this year will be on football. We don't try cases in the media. We will respect the process and establish Jake's innocence through the judicial system.
BYU also issued the following statement, and I quote, BYU became aware today that a civil lawsuit involving Jake Retzlaff had been filed this morning. The university takes any allegation very seriously, following all processes and guidelines mandated by Title IX. Due to federal and university privacy laws and practices for students, the university will not be able to provide additional comment, end quote.
Coming up on today's show, updated SP Plus rankings are out. Where is BYU? Which side of the ball will perhaps overachieve? A college football playoff update. Straight seating is coming. Do we like it? Blaine Fowler joined the program talking about the success of the 2026 recruiting class. Why is it? And women's soccer is back from a massive, awesome humanitarian trip to New Zealand. Avery Frischknecht and Ellie Walbrook are in the house.
This is a BYU sports program, and we are discussing live BYU sports, as a matter of fact, this morning, because following a 2-0 win over Arizona State yesterday, the Batcats of BYU baseball have the opportunity to play today against the 4-seed Arizona in the Big 12 tournament quarterfinals. Right now, BYU trailing Arizona 3-0 in the bottom of the sixth, but very much within striking distance, given the way that those bats can get going, Jerem.
Keep it going, because yesterday's win was massive. First shutout of the year for BYU. Struck out 18 times, Spencer, but still won the game because of great pitching. So now they're on to the quarterfinals, down 3-0 in the bottom of the sixth. Have some work to do in the final three.
We'll keep you updated there. For the time being, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Football certainly feels like they're on a track to compete at a level they have not yet.
3-2-1, touchdown!
They don't have to top it for me. They have to do it again.
Oh my goodness! He's gonna go!
I think that this is an underrated program, and I expect big things for them in 2025.
The ever-changing world of college football continues to evolve, with the college football playoff executives expected to adopt what they call a straight seeding model for the 2025 playoff. Jerem will explain what all this is, but in your opinion, is this a step in the right direction for the college football playoff?
Yeah, I love it. The top four teams and the top four seeds, period. Doesn't matter if you're a conference champ or not. So last year it would have been Georgia, Michigan, Texas, Penn State. ASU would have been the 12 seed, not the 4 seed. Ohio State would have been the 6 seed. They still went on to win. The matchups were a little funky given how the seeding was. I love it. I'm excited about it because I think it just makes sense. We don't do that in March Madness, right? It's just straight up. How are you? You could have multiple number one seeds from the SEC. We saw Auburn and Florida go to the Final Four. I think this is great. I have no argument. This is what I was hoping for. I'm happy.
The best teams get the best seeds. This is an absolute no-brainer. Yeah, I'm on board for it 100%. We should note the adjustment as it will seed according to ranking, but still distribute the same revenue, $8 million per program, to the four Power Four conference champions, even if they are outside the top four. So if you win your conference, you're still rewarded financially. But as far as seeding and the best
money for this
possible path to move on in the bracket, yeah, this is logic 101. Somebody tell me why this wouldn't make sense, why you don't like this.
This makes so much sense. We're moving on to the next topic because it's just, hey, FYI. The newest SP Plus rankings from ESPN's Bill Connolly are out. BYU's 27 overall, offense at 29, defense at 30. This takes into account returning production, recruiting, recent history. Which side of the ball do you think will overachieve, 29 at offense or 30 at defense?
Both favorable numbers. I'm leaning on Jay Hill and that BYU defense.
Certainly there are questions relative to the offense.
Understandably, yeah. Things are murky there, no question. But I would have answered, even before that, the BYU defense, because in Jay Hill, I trust. What has he shown us over the past 2 years other than significant progress from this BYU defense? Now that he's got his guys, and BYU has really, really done well in the transfer portal. The big question mark there is, can BYU's defensive line replace all four of their main cogs that were up front, led by Tyler Batty last year? That is the question. But I have been assured they feel like they are on par, if not a little bit better, talent-wise. It's just a matter of getting guys comfortable in those new positions in the front four of Jay Hill's defense. Now, the cornerbacks, you lose Jacob Robinson and Mark Collins. Fantastic players. But I believe that the front seven will be so good, spurred on by some incredible linebackers, Jerem, one of the best linebacker rooms in the entire country. Front seven are going to get after it. That's going to allow BYU's secondary a little bit of time to get cohesive and adjust and learn some new roles. So I'm leaning on Jay Hill and the BYU defense to overachieve compared to this number 30 overall SP Plus ranking from Bill Connolly.
I'm not sure how much better they can get given what we just showed on that graphic. First in points per game, yards per play, interceptions, takeaways in the Big 12. They led the nation in interceptions.
Yeah, are we asking, can they overachieve compared to last year's numbers? Because that's a different conversation.
I think we're talking about SP Plus, specifically the 30.
Yes.
But relative to what they did last year, it was amazing. And it's hard to lose the whole defensive line and be like, hey, it's going to be better this year. Keanu Tanuvasa, I think, is the best D-tackle BYU's had in fill in the blank. He's really, really stinking good.
When was the last time BYU had an NFL defensive tackle?
Kyrus Tonga.
It's been a minute.
Honestly, I think he's going to be a better college player than Kyrus Tonga. So we'll see. Offensively, I'm hoping that's where it goes. And again, we acknowledge that there are questions to be answered relative to the offense, obviously. They need to take the next step to be a Big 12 title contender and playoff contender on offense. Because as we look at some of those numbers from last year, points per play, 23rd. Points per game, 36th. Yards per play, 41st.
Third down conversions.
Yards per game, 59th. Yeah, the third and fourth thing, right? Aaron likes to couple those together. Other offensive metrics of note. EPA offense, EPA expected points added, that's a number that a lot of people like. 34th, so good. That's a good number. I'm not saying 34th is bad, but what if you're top 20? Now do you beat Arizona State? Do you maybe beat Kansas, right? Offensive success rate, 38th. Rush specifically, 29th. Drop back success rate, 54th. There's room for improvement here. Net points per drive, 54th. If BYU can be in the top kind of 30 in all those metrics, now we're talking about, combined with a very good defense, like, can the BYU defense get better? If they do, look out. They were amazing. That's where this team can improve the most is offensively. You know where they almost can't improve at all? Special teams. Now, you lose Keelan Marion to Miami. That's going to be tough. But in terms of what they brought from a field position, punting,
you have Will Farron back.
That's awesome. Kick return game, obviously there's a lot of pressure to be good when you have three returns for a touchdown, two
maybe
punts from
Parker Kingston and Tiger Bachmeier can together fill the void that Keelan Marion leaves.
It's asking a lot. You returned two kicks for touchdowns. But let's play it out and let's see. So it's exciting to see that as good as BYU was last year, they have some room to grow, especially
yes,
on offense.
There is improvement. But in terms of just these actual rankings, offense, by the way, for the moment, better position than defense, 29 to the 30th rated defense.
Probably because of what the defense lost.
And a huge part of the SP Plus metric is what you bring back from a production standpoint. And so, again, we wait to see what BYU's offense will actually look like when they get to game number one against Portland State. For me right now, I'm rolling with the defense. By the way, how many days until that game against the Portland State Vikings?
Nice number today.
Countdown to the Vikings.
100 days.
Okay.
Keeping it a hundy.
Now I actually care about this number. Prior to today, I didn't really care about this number. Now I'm in.
100 days exactly from BYU football hosting Portland State to kick off the 2025 season on August 30th at beautiful Lavelle Edwards Stadium. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves too much, but for the moment, humorous, won't you, as we push ahead to BYU football 2026. And their recruiting class, which is ranked 30th right now, according to 24/7 Sports. 30th. This is territory BYU has not often ventured into, Jerem.
Right.
Why the success, rather, now with the 2026 class?
Three things. One, winning, what BYU did last year. There's, hey, look at BYU in the convo for the playoff. Tied for first at the end of the regular season, lost tiebreaker in the Big 12. That was awesome. Culture. People like coming and playing at BYU. NIL is very competitive right now, which is great. Shout out to the donors. It helps their, you know, high-profile athletes who are members of the church who are ranked high in recruiting. That helps, too. You can't just have not a lot of those dudes and suddenly get a good recruiting class. You have one of the best tight ends in the country. You have some of the best offensive linemen, defensive linemen. There's a quarterback BYU hopes to get. Certainly that would boost us even more.
That might put BYU into the top 20.
Those are members of the church who have an interest in BYU. Not every member of the church loves BYU, but there are a lot that do. So that all helps. And so 2026 looking pretty good. Spence, it might be, I mean, in the modern era, this is looking like it's going to be the best recruiting class BYU's ever had.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That is quite the statement. And you wonder how much better could it possibly get?
Add that quarterback and
top 25, maybe creeping up towards the top 20. BYU currently 55th as far as the 2025 rankings go. So that would be right now a 25 spot jump. Makes me wonder, one, is this sustainable? And two, should BYU fans expect this to be the new norm? I don't think we can go there just yet. It probably requires more winning, which breeds confidence in your recruits and helps establish an even better culture. But if BYU can put together another 9-10 win season this year, then maybe it does become the new norm, Jerem. Maybe more of these four-star guys are like, yeah, something special is going on with Kalani Sitake and that BYU program. I want to be a part of it.
I think it depends on the crop, the crew of athletes who are members of the church who are interested in BYU.
Can BYU get those guys, the best of those guys from the member, from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
There's no excuse now. Before it was like, well, you're not in a power league. But now there's Power League, there's winning, there's NIL, all of these things that help, and BYU's being very competitive in all of those spaces. I know it was 1 year, but the direction we're headed is great. I mean, look at what men's basketball is doing. You have the right person leading the program with the right resources. A lot of things are possible that maybe we didn't think before. And that's what this 26 class kind of feels like. The rhetoric of those guys talking to each other and out loud is, let's go do something special. And BYU's already got commitments from notably a tight end and offensive lineman that are two of the highest-rated guys BYU's ever had. And that's the tip of the iceberg. Again, if a certain quarterback joins this crop, we're talking about in a couple of years really feeling like, I would say like 28, 29 junior, senior years that could be special. Again, what I don't want to do is Lone Peak 3, this is guaranteed.
We're all in on this.
We don't know what's going to happen. But right now, as currently constituted, it's looking pretty great. And I think there are some sustainable elements of what's going on.
Yes. It does feel like there's a better foundation. It's not just, wow, BYU hit the jackpot this go around.
With these three dudes.
No. This is a wealth of talented athletes that are all committing. And
Well played. Nice word.
Yes. There is this budding momentum.
Look at Chase on fourth down. Give me the ball!
And he caught it, thank goodness. There are a few things I enjoy more than seeing guys like Trey Alexander retweet himself from a previous post where he says, and I'm bringing all the best with me. And then another four-star signs. He's like, I told you that I was bringing the best with me. I love these guys that they're bought into the program. They are recruiting for BYU actively. And that matters. That is all about culture. And Kalani Sitake keeps saying, and I'll echo it, players are running out of reasons to not want to play at BYU.
Sure. Kick butt and things happen. BYU kicked butt against
Winning
Colorado.
Breeds success in all platforms.
And again, the challenge of BYU football this year is to do it again. And they certainly can. Now we're 100 days away.
Wow.
You can kind of smell it. Like within 100, I'm like, okay. We're like, it's the summer. I know we're going to hang out, have some vacation.
It's good vibes.
But then it's good vibes, yeah.
It's vacation.
When we get to two digits tomorrow, we're getting there.
It's vacation.
Three-ish months.
It's a little football taste, Big 12 football media days. Then it's a little more vacation. Then it's camp, and then we're just in the season.
We're in.
Let's go.
It's what we live for, man.
Our question of the day is as follows. Why is BYU football seeing this type of success with the 2026 recruiting class, which is currently ranked 30th nationally? Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation.
Where do we want it to be? sort of that ranking? Because we've kind of talked about how what I don't like doing is ignoring things when they're inconvenient relative to recruiting ranking, Spencer. So they're in the 50s. Well, in previous years, it needs to be higher. Let's go.
In previous years, I said, could BYU get to the top third? Which, doing the math right now, the top third of college football would be, 44? Yeah. Like, top 44? But because...
Is that good enough? You're trying to compete for a national championship?
No, that was probably tempered by BYU new to the Power Four, 5-7 season. They were coming at Independence.
What's a realistic goal? Top 35?
For me, top 35. Okay. Absolutely.
Top 35.
Top 30 is outstanding. If you can be top 35 consistently, great.
Basketball's like top 35.
Can we be top five?
How about we be top five? What? Let's be ambitious here.
Speaking of basketball.
Football is interesting, though, because of the amount of sort of athletes who are members of the church. It's interesting. And basketball, that pool's just a little smaller in basketball. It is. Okay, BYU basketball, speaking of, opened or posted a video called POV, You're a Fly on the Wall in the Annex. Mm. What overreactions on a mid-22nd can we make off this?
AJ DeBonta is going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft.
We already knew that one.
Is that much of an overreaction?
We already knew that one.
Does he not look just like a seasoned pro? The fade, that's Kobe Bryant-esque, Jerem.
Tracy McGrady, Kobe. I love, Dominique Diamande's athleticism. The floater game real strong. How about Kaba in this? And then Richie's still not, hey.
Kadeem and Boop.
No headband, still with Richie.
Still playing well.
This is a trend now. This is a streak.
Maybe he's got that next level flow, okay? It's just time.
And you're talking about the hair.
Flow.
You're not talking about his game.
Both.
Maybe he ceded the headband era to Xavier State.
Abdul-Jabbar start playing for BYU, too?
Xavier?
Xavier looks like a young Kareem out there with the headband.
A.K.A. Lewis.
Shaved head. Yes.
Lewis Cinder.
Yes. Yeah. Before he became Kareem.
Before Michael
his college
Davey
days.
Got him in the weight room.
What overreactions can we make from this? BYU absolutely has maybe 3 or 4 NBA players on their roster right now.
Some of you may be wondering, why no Robert Wright III? He had surgery on his hand or one of his fingers, and so I don't anticipate him playing for a while. I don't know what that is, but he'll be in early fall camp stuff and good to go, it sounds like. So.
Dominic Diamande is going to be the sixth man of the year in the Big 12, based on that one highlight.
Exactly.
Overreactions.
We want
overreactions.
Yeah, waiting on seeing Tyler Morris, right, who we know is in town. Robert Wright III's in town now. We saw Dominic Diamande. So the Avengers are gathering, and, they have certain times they can practice full 5-on-5, other times drills. These guys are getting shots up all the time, putting in the work. So it's exciting, man, and I love these little snippets that we're getting from social media. BYU does it right.
Yes, Kay Bakeda, by the way, still just the rim enforcer.
I assume Mihailo Boskovic is just like, hanging out at home in Europe for now. And then we'll
taking
see
some
later.
Time off, come back.
Yeah. Okay. Not everyone's here every second practicing. You need to have a little bit of balance.
More of those POV videos from BYU basketball.
Oh, make me a fly on the wall in the annex. I love that.
Yeah, so that's fun great. To watch that.
It's great. Join us tomorrow for a BYU Sports Nation Deep Blue special, including stories about Richie Saunders, Dawson Baker, Mawit Mag, and more. Tomorrow, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, Uncle B, Blaine Fowler, our dual threat analyst, is back on the show. Does he think BYU football's offense or defense has a better chance to outperform their current SP Plus ranking? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Them to win the Big 12.
I believe the BYU is in that number one tier.
The guys that we do have returning made such an impact last year.
LJ Martin is one of the best running backs in the country that nobody is talking about.
Maybe year 3 pushes them over the top.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. Joining us now over Zoom is our dual threat analyst covering both football and basketball for BYU. He is Uncle B, Blaine Fowler. Blaine, how are you this fine morning?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for asking. Good to see you.
All right, it's time to discuss.
When you say dual, I was in the basketball facility yesterday and in the football office yesterday. I was in both because I knew you wanted me to come on and talk about both.
Yes, I mean it quite literally. You are covering both sports as of today, this moment. We'll start with football because the new SP Plus rankings from Bill Connolly of ESPN are out. They're favorable to BYU. The Cougars are number 27 overall. Offense rated number 29, defense rated number 30. We asked earlier, which side of the ball do you feel like has a better chance to overachieve as it pertains to that preseason SP Plus ranking?
I would take the defense right now. There were two questions I had for this football team, and both were up front. On the offensive line, were these new younger guys that were going to plug in along with shuffling positions around? Were they going to play as a unit? That was my first question. My second question was, what's going to happen on this defensive line, and how are you going to replace two defensive tackles and Nelson and Mangelson that were so consistently good all year last year? To me, the bigger question was on the defensive line. And then those questions got answered. With Keanu Tonavasa, as I watched him through spring ball, my goodness, you guys, he is a player. He may end up being the best defensive player on the team next year. And not just because of his physicality and his motor and his skill set. I mean, he's very polished, but he's relentless in what he does. He's first in every drill. So his leadership also was very, very evident during spring ball. And then you add Justin Kirkland inside. And I felt good about, like Tom Apeao and Purcell and Tuala and the guys that were in there. I just didn't feel good about the depth. Now I feel great about the defensive line. That was my only question, because I feel like the back seven are as good as anybody in the country. Deep at safety, really talented at corner, maybe as good a linebacking core as there is in the Big 12. And so with the defensive line answers in my mind a resounding yes, they're going to be good on the D-line, I think the defense is going to be one of the top two defenses in the Big 12 again, and I would think that would translate to a top 15 defense in the country next year, and that'll keep BYU in every single game and give them a chance to win a lot of games.
That would be amazing, because they were the best defense by far in the Big 12 last year relative to points, yards, takeaways, and so on and so forth. What do you feel like, because you feel highly about them, is sustainable and they can continue despite significant mentioned losses on the D-line and at cornerback?
Yeah, I just look at athleticism at corner, and there's guys with experience as well. But the heart and soul of that defense last year was the linebacking core. And that linebacking core with depth is back. And I think that's what – when this BYU defense is going to be good, you're going to have safeties that can cover a lot of ground and be erasers in the back end that get guys lined up. Well, they've got that back. Tanner Wall is one of the – heart and soul guys of this entire football team. He's back and going to be running the show from the back end. So they're going to make fewer mistakes than they did last year, especially early in the season. And then you have that linebacking group in front with Kelly and Glasker, who, by the way, I think are both NFL guys. Siale Asera, who's incredibly fast and athletic and good in space. I think we'll see his physicality step up a step this year as he's a year older. And good depth at that position. I think those backers are going to be tackling machines. They're going to be disruptive when BYU blitzes. And I just think, because of the experience that they have in that back end, you add it to some sheer brute strength and size inside on that defensive line. And I feel like the defensive ends, there's a talented group out there. There's enough talent for this team to be as good or better than they were defensively last year. And it's the thing I'm most excited about this football team.
Blaine Fowler is on BYU Sports Nation. We were also discussing the 2026 recruiting rankings, which have been updated. BYU currently number 30 in the country. This is new territory for BYU, Blaine. I know that they're coming off an 11-2 season. They've got some momentum, but 30 is a very favorable number for 2026 as we push it even further forward. What do you attribute the uptick in recruiting success to, aside from just winning football games?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was watching film yesterday with Hunter Clegg, the transfer defensive end, and Coach Fowler, and they were doing film on offensive recognition. So he was going through with Hunter. When you see this set, what do you think? Is this going to be run or is this going to be pass? What type of run is it going to be? Like next level kind of stuff. But Gavin and Hunter were talking about a recruit, which I won't mention here, that they were going after that comes back from a mission next year. And a Hunter mentioned, he goes, man, it's just such a big difference now with what BYU did this last year. There's a lot of players that really bought into the culture that Kalani was selling when they were being recruited, that felt like, man, if there's a place that I really feel good about playing, it would be there. I want to go play for this coaching staff. I want to go play with these players. I love the culture at BYU. But gosh, they just weren't very good. So now when you go out and you have a performance like you did last year and you perform against Colorado like you did in that bowl game and just put an exclamation point on the season, now people are going, wait a minute here. This team isn't a couple years away from competing for a Big 12 championship. They just did. And I've always loved the culture there. So this is where I'm going. I think winning is what changed it. First big step was get in the Big 12. The second step was to show you could compete in the Big 12. And then I feel like once they had that, they would turn a corner and never look back. Well, guys, I feel like the corner's been turned. And I think they'll be very good again this year. And you stack back-to-back years together where they're really good. They're just going to be looking at other programs in the rearview mirror. And I think that's the big difference. The culture's always been there. The comfortability with his coaching staff or players has always been there. It was a matter of, can they compete at this level, which they proved they could last season.
100 days until BYU takes on Portland State. How will you fill your time until you know, fall camp and the games begin? Because it feels like it's just around the corner now.
Yeah, well, I've decided I got to work out all summer long, and I can't stop anymore because I got to be ready. And because right now I'm working out for spring football for the alumni game because the winning team gets invited back. And I feel like it wasn't completely on my game this last year. And now I'm just going to work out all summer to get ready for next spring.
You could just wait till January, just saying.
Nope. This is a year-round program now. It's got to be year-round. At my age, you can't take a day off. That's all there is to it. So, no, and I'll be – like yesterday, I stopped up at basketball, and then I stopped over at football. Fun to watch a little film with some of the guys and do that. So I'm just going to be staying brushed up on everything BYU football and basketball for you know, throughout the summer, and that'll be fun. That keeps my it keeps me busy while we anticipate kickoff against Portland State.
Blaine Fowler, 100% dialed in, 100 days away from football.
Update from BYU in Arizona, top of the eighth. BYU has the tying runner aboard, down 3-0.
Ooh.
First and third, nobody out. Tying run to the plate.
Let's go.
Let's go. Come on, boys.
Back catch trying to
hang
in there.
That game against Arizona State. Were we not
awesome.
All surprised?
That was awesome.
Yeah,
it
was shocked. Awesome.
Yeah. First shutout awesome. Of the year. You know, amazing pitching performance from Justice Reiser and Ashton Johnson. Now the boys need a comeback. Let's go.
Yeah.
We'll see if the back catch can do it.
It's
there.
Time
yes.
for a roll. It's time for that baseball team to be on a roll at the perfect time of year, right?
Well, Texas drama perhaps brewing there for BYU baseball. Okay. Let's stay with football for the moment, but push it to the national conversation because it is expected as early today as today that the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, the governing body, will go with a straight seeding approach, meaning if you are one of the top four seeds, regardless of conference affiliation, you just get 1, 2, 3, or 4, Blaine. How do you feel about a straight seeding philosophy for the College Football Playoff as a change right now?
Yeah, it's hard because I'm not sure that we all felt like the committee got it right last year with the seedings they had, even when they were tied into the conference winners got 1, 2, 3, and 4, the Power Four conference winners. I guess that's my hesitation is I don't trust the system enough to not overvalue the SEC in the Big Ten. Like, don't we feel like if this goes through, and I, you know, I'm interested how you guys feel about it, that there's just going to be every year a couple teams from the SEC and a couple teams from the Big Ten will be 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the ACC and the Big 12 will be 5 and 6. You know, it's hard for me to trust that that committee can get it right. So that's my hesitation on it. Honestly, I'd love to see it go to 16 teams. You know, when are we going to do that?
Going to happen. Yeah, yeah. 26.
Yeah. And to me, though, okay, so I have a hesitation because of that. That really doesn't matter because what you have to do is go win football games anyhow, right? And so at least as the member of the Big 12, BYU has their destiny in their own hands where they can go out, compete really well. I thought Big 12 should have had 2 teams in last year, but just go win the league and you're in. And so and then once you get into the playoff, then who knows what happens. So I think that's the goal this year. Get in. Get into the College Football Playoff somehow is the goal. To me, that's – isn't that crazy that's the bar? How our bar has changed in just 18 months. The bar's changed dramatically, hasn't it?
It is crazy. And I think one of the keys for the Big 12 is that they can't have parity, Blaine, because if you have what you have last year, you just have one bid. And Arizona State was the 12th seed. They got the 4th seed because of the conference champs thing. As a fan, I like the straight seeding more. But relative to the Big 12, it's probably a thing where we probably don't like straight seeding. For 2 teams to get in the Big 12, what's the scenario that has to occur? What does BYU need to do, should it not win the Big 12, to be a better at-large candidate than they were last year?
Well, I think they have a chance to – they got to take care of business in the preseason. Now, the preseason schedule would appear to – in fact, the whole schedule across the board looks like it's a little bit easier pathway. But to me, they have to finish during the regular season, one or two, and then one and two need to play in the championship game, and it needs to be obvious. And then – I think after last season with what they did, even if they lost in that championship game, and isn't it crazy to say that last season matters, but it does, unfortunately. Yeah. But the way they represented in the bowl game last year, I think the committee would have a hard time justifying if BYU played and were one or two in the league and went in and lost a close game in the championship game, that the committee wouldn't put them in. And I know it shouldn't have anything to do with last year, but I feel like it has an impact on it. But the way they performed at the end of the year, it'd be hard to shut them out. And so, to me, finish one or two in the league, play in the championship game, and then I think you have a chance to be in. And I think you're right, though, Jeremy. Like, the SEC can have parity like crazy, and nobody cares, or the Big Ten. If the Big 12 has four or five teams all the same, that hurts BYU no matter what they do. And so I think there needs to be a clear top three. But isn't it interesting? You look at the way too early preseason rankings, and they don't value the Big 12 in that top eight. Like, they value their depth, but a lot of these polls have Big 12 teams, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, or 13, 14, 15, 17, 18. They value that it's a good league, but they don't value it at the top of the college football echelon. They have a bunch of SEC and Big 12 teams, and then an ACC or two in there. And then they think the Big 12, the story on them going into the season is everybody thinks there's a lot of parity. They're very good, but they're not top 10.
Okay, Blaine, just to double back as a final follow-up in the last 30 seconds of our interview, I'm going to remind you last year that Boise State and Arizona State were given byes. Now, it turned out that the teams that had byes didn't benefit, it would seem, from this because all lost. But you would prefer potentially the group of six team, Boise State and Arizona State, in over the likes of Texas, Penn State, or Notre Dame, where you just straight seed. Is that what you are saying?
I'm with Jerem that I'm biased because I think the Big 12 will get shut out.
Totally fair. Seed. Totally fair.
So that's my bias. And I'm just going to admit my bias right here. I don't like it because of that. If I'm just a fan without a tie to a league, then I probably like straight seeding better. And so I've got to be honest about that. But my real hesitation is that they'll favor the SEC and the Big Ten. The Big 12 won't be in that ever.
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't like it. Not because I don't think it actually would be the best four teams. Because I do think a lot of times the best four teams are from the SEC and the Big Ten.
Dang it, I hate that you're right, Blaine.
I hate to be honest. I hate to like think clearly without any bias, but that's what I have to say.
Sorry, Brenda, so. I'm right again.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey,
so Brenda's always right, and Jerem's always right.
Yeah. So. We appreciate the time, brother. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll do it again soon.
You bet, guys. Thanks.
Uncle B, Blaine Fowler on BYU Sports Nation.
I was speaking as if I was Blaine.
Yeah, I know. Name. I know what you meant.
Ryder Robinson battling at the dish right now. First and third, nobody out. 2-2 count. Down 3-0. Top of the eighth. BYU Arizona in the quarters. Baseball. Big 12 tournament.
Feels like this is the opportunity.
Come on. I got it up right now. I'm watching.
Come on.
Are we still
like
doing
this
the show?
The opportunity.
I'm just watching this.
All right.
Let's go. Come on, Ryder.
You keep watching baseball. Ryder Robinson's a great guy to have at the dish right
yes.
now, as a matter of fact. Coming up.
Single into right field. We got to run.
Scores.
We got to run. Let's go.
3-1. A former Cougar won a championship that we need to talk about while another BYU team begins their own competition for a championship. Headlines after this on BYUSN.
Come on, Batcats.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social for content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headlines.
Fresh SP Plus rankings from ESPN's Bill Connelly are out. BYU 27th overall with the offense at 29, defense at 30. Cougars listed as the fourth best team from the Big 12 with Kansas State listed at 18, Arizona State at 22, and Texas Tech at 26.
An update from the 12-seed BYU baseball team at the Big 12 tournament. After beating Arizona State 2-0 in round one of the tourney, they are currently taking on the four-seed Arizona. BYU has scored their lone run in the eighth inning. Cougars have two men on with two outs, trying to cut even further into that lead as we speak.
Yeah, Cooper Vass just struck out, so first and third, tying run at the plate, go-ahead run at the plate, tying run at first. Come on, boys. Let's go. Okay, 14-seed men's golf set to begin playing the NCAA championships today at the Omni La Costa Resort in Carlsbad, California. Cougars coming off first place in the NCAA regionals. They tee off at 6:30 Eastern. Best of luck to the boys.
Former Cougar Daniel Schneeman, speaking of high-level baseball, continues to roll for the Cleveland Guardians. 1-for-3 at the plate yesterday in a 5-1 win over the Twins. Schneeman batting .265, 27 hits and 6 home runs on the season.
And former men's basketball player Spencer Johnson took home the championship in the British Super League earlier this week. Johnson plays for the Leicester Riders, averaged 13 a game, 5 rebounds, 2 assists in 5 playoff games. Congrats.
Those are your headlines. After the break, we visit with two BYU women's soccer stars, Avery Frischneck and Ellie Walbrook, join us in studio to recap an unforgettable humanitarian team trip to New Zealand. This is BYUSN. Station continues live from Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan, joining us now. As we promised before we went to break, are not one but two fantastic BYU women soccer stars, fresh off a humanitarian trip to New Zealand, of all places.
Now, we went to Mexico on the cruise with these two ladies.
Avery Frischneck.
That would have been nice.
Avery Frischneck and Ellie Walbrook.
What's up? Long time no see. Feels like we were just hanging out on the boat.
I know. Last interview we were in Mexico.
I know.
In the sun.
Next time we'll go to New Zealand with you. We'll talk to Jen. We'll talk to Jen.
Yeah. Love it.
Okay, let's just start with the straight up, how was the trip question to New Zealand? No soccer, straight service and humanitarian efforts there. So what was that like? Ellie, we'll start with you.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it was so, so unbelievable. Just like being with the people there, so friendly, so nice, and just like, it was a trip that we're going to remember for the rest of our lives. And not only did like we have so many connections that we met there, like it bonded us as a team so much that it's going to play off in the fall. I know for a fact, but it was so, so fun.
And you, Avery?
It was amazing. It was life-changing. It was so much fun. We had a lot of fun, played hard, worked hard, and it was, like Ellie said, we grew a lot as a team and our culture as well. So.
We talked about how you got in Ensenada, I believe, how you guys hadn't seen Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Did you watch it on the plane?
I did watch it.
How many?
Just the first one.
The first one?
I was a little bored like halfway through it, and then I was like, okay. But it was cool to see like Hobbiton.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
You had to see it. Now you appreciate it a little more.
Yeah, 100%.
Avery, you didn't appreciate it because you didn't watch it, right?
I did not watch the movie, unfortunately. I forgot about it, but I loved Hobbiton.
Summer assignment, yeah. Okay, what were some of your favorite highlights here? Because this wasn't a trip where, okay, once every 4 years you can go play.
And yeah.
It's not that trip. This was straight up you guys wanted to go serve and grow together.
Yeah, I think one of the highlights that sticks out to me is we were able to go all over the North Island. So we basically went top from bottom, which was so cool to see like all the different areas of New Zealand. But we were able to go to a refugee center in Auckland, was it?
Yeah
Auckland. Mm-hmm. And just to be there and feel the spirit and just be with those kids was like so like emotional. Like it was so amazing to see kind of their culture and just being there. Another thing was every like devotional and fireside we went to after in New Zealand, they always do in their culture like a song after. So we were able to see the haka probably 7-8 times, would you say? And
that's
just
awesome.
Chills throughout the body. And it was just so amazing to see the culture and kind of the light of Christ over there. It was awesome.
The Maori culture is special.
Oh, 100%.
It really is. So cool. Mm-hmm. What were some of your highlights?
Gosh, there were so many fun things we did. Like Ellie said, we went to the refugee camp. We did devotionals. We ran like little mini soccer camps for all the little kids in, where were they? It was in Auckland, and there was, I think, in Wellington. Mm-hmm. So we had like a whole bunch of elementary school.
200 kids.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
And so we were preparing for our camps here that start up in the next couple of weeks. But it was super fun. The kids are amazing. They're high energy, super fun. But we did a lot of fun things, too. Like, we went surfing. Like, that was super fun. What else did we do?
There's this thing called zorbing there. It's super, super popular. So you're in, like, a... What is it? Like a big hamster ball?
Like, have you seen like the blow up soccer? Like, those huge balls.
And then there's a little ball inside of it. Then they put water in it, and you're just rolling down a hill. Like, it is probably top 10 moments of my whole life.
It's called zorbing.
It's called zorbing. Look it up. It's awesome. Unreal. It was so funny.
So they just roll you down a hill?
Literally push you off a hill, and you're in with three girls, and there's water in, and you're just kind of...
You're just, like, all over the place.
Oh, it's so spinning head over...
All of your coaches and trainers, by the way, are just grimacing as you do this, like, please don't get hurt.
Keith Working's right here videoing us, laughing at us, but no, it was
super fun.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right, fresh off of a successful zorbing trip to New Zealand.
So much zorbage happened.
Our Avery Frischknecht and Ellie Walbrook, you mentioned a couple of times how important it is to bond and become more cohesive as a unit through a trip like this. It's always tough to quantify how much more you are after a trip like this, because it's not like you say, like, we're 10% more bonded.
Yeah.
But why do you feel like clearly you are a stronger unit? What was it about this trip that makes that a reality?
Yeah, I think... just seeing everyone in a different environment. Obviously, like, we know each other on the field. We know everyone's strengths, weaknesses. But seeing each other off the soccer field and just, like, sharing our testimony and our belief in Christ and all this kind of thing. Like, you had the girls that kind of don't really talk much, that they're sharing their testimony and we're learning more about them in that way. And so it just really, really bonded us and really saw the light of Christ in everything that we did. And it was just... so surreal, and a moment we'll remember for the rest of our lives.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Presley Freeman and Mackenzie Vance are members of other faiths.
Yes, and Peyton.
They went on this trip and kind of saw all of this, the firsthand sort of experience of members of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And their faith grew. They were quoted in the release of, like, this was an amazing experience. Mm-hmm, yeah. How was it as a team of, like, it's not all members of the same faith of, we come together and we do good?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think... even if you're not of the same faith, like, they're all Christians, so we all believe in Christ. And just seeing how we were able to learn from each other, from each other's experiences, and draw on that strength and that faith, it strengthens your own.
Mm-hmm.
And by strengthening your own faith, you're becoming closer as a unit, closer as a team. And I have so much more love and just, like, I don't even know how to word it, but, like, I just believe in my teammates so much more now because I was able to be with them and we were able to serve others. And it's true that, like, when you serve other people, you're serving the Lord. And mm-hmm. that's how I felt that whole trip. And I think that's how we all felt. And as you do that, you develop this love. And I have so much love for the people of New Zealand. So I can only imagine how a mission is, because we were only there for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yep.
But I love them so much. And my love grew for our teammates mm-hmm. too.
Who do you feel like you know way more about as far as your teammates go because of this trip than you did before you went to New Zealand?
Oh, everyone.
Yeah.
Literally. It's cool because Emma Hamberlin, you guys know Emma. She's a little quieter. I mean, it takes a little bit to get to know her. But, I mean, she gave a great fireside talk. And just you can see her speaking so confidently in Christ. It warms my heart thinking about it, because it was just an experience that, like, everyone grew in so many ways. And like I said, like, we bonded so well as a team that I know it's just going to push us off in the fall. So,
okay, I love rugby. Did you get to see rugby stuff? Eden Park, where the All Blacks play, or the maybe you guys went to the practice facility or something? I'm trying to remember.
We went to, like, the All Black. I don't know if it's a museum or if it's.
It's called, like, the All Blacks Experience.
Yeah,
that's what it was
nice.
Called.
It was.
If you thought
so cool.
Zorbing was cool.
Yeah, there was, and they, like, it was so, like, their technology there is insane. So it was like a virtual, like, screen, like, this big, and, like, we're standing in there, like, we're about to play the freaking All Blacks, and they start doing the haka to us, and it's like sounds of, like, and like
vibration. What it would be like to be
100%
across from that.
And just chills. We're like this. We're like so scared.
They're good at rugby, but also they get you pregame.
Oh, yeah.
They, mentally, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would be terrified if I had to go up against them.
And just, I love that culture is there. Can you imagine in basketball that happening? Okay, pregame, we're going to do this cultural thing to intimidate you.
Exactly. We want to do it now before our games.
We're trying to get Steve to lead us.
Yeah, we're like, Steve, you're the leader. Let's go.
Steve, let's do something. Yeah.
Just as a reminder, you're not allowed to tackle people on a soccer pitch the way that you can in rugby.
Avery's going to tackle plenty of people.
Get away with
in a soccer tackle.
I'm saying rugby style, Avery. I know, you're feeling all the emotions. Okay, I'm going to rein it back and get ready to go.
You cannot rein in Avery Freshneck. I'm sorry. Good try.
Speaking of the approaching season, what has you most excited about the opportunity that lies ahead of BYU women's soccer in 2025? This is the question for both of you. Avery, we'll start with you.
Gosh, I think we're all just super excited. We're super antsy. It's almost here. We've been working really hard. We've been back from New Zealand, a week and a half, 2 weeks. And that first Monday we got back, we were all there at 7 o'clock ready and running our guts out. Mm-hmm. So I think we're just excited for the opportunity to show how hard we've been working and show how our team has bonded. And that, like Ellie said, we're all so much closer, and we know that that's just going to help us through the ups and downs of season, so we can just kind of ride it even. Mm-hmm. But we're hungry. We're ready for this year.
You're looking at the schedule, Ellie.
Oh, yeah.
What are you thinking?
We're hungry. I mean, we have a lot of home games, which we're super pumped about. And I think, obviously, we had a different season last year, but we're ready to step up and kind of build off how we ended. I think we're all on the same page, ready, hungry, ready for that Big 12 championship, and just that's in the back of our minds while we're running, while we're doing summer conditioning. Yeah. We're just really excited, and that first game, you all better be there because we're ready.
Fill up the stands.
Exactly.
Amen. Great to have both of you with us after what I'm sure was just a memorable an unforgettable trip. Mm-hmm. We're glad that you get to sleep in your own beds for a minute.
Yeah, me too.
That's a lot of trouble. Though, sleeping on the boat, in a weird way, got some of the best sleep of my life. A little rock.
That's exactly right.
We did too.
That's what you guys said too on the boat, right?
Out.
Just the light rock.
Good.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma for the approaching practices, training camp, and season.
Well, really, when my 6-year-old Tate is at the mini Cubs camp coming up in 2 weeks.
That's when it starts.
Yeah, exactly.
You have that to look forward to as well.
Yeah. June 4th, baby. Yeah.
Great stuff.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, join us tomorrow for a BYU Sports Nation Deep Blue special featuring stories from Richie Saunders, Dawson Bacon, Whit Mag, and others. Tomorrow, Friday, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, what's the latest from BYU baseball in Arlington at the Big 12 tournament, plus our rise and shout out? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps or listen to the pod. Subscribe, rate, and review. An update on the Batcats, now down 4-1. End of the eighth, so they've got to score at least 3 runs right now.
Going to take something significant and special to continue the season.
They're not in an at-large position for the NCAA tournament, so this is it. They got to score 3 runs to survive here.
Frankly, overachieving to get to this point.
Yeah, that win yesterday was the best win of the season. That was awesome.
No doubt about it. Our question of the day, we transition from baseball back to football. Why is BYU football, in your opinion, seeing this type of success with the 2026 recruiting class? We're talking about this because the rankings were just updated as of yesterday. Number 30 is BYU's class in 2026. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from @RowdyInTheRock on X, who says, BYU is a nationally relevant team in a power conference with competitive NIL and the best fan base in college football, not to mention an environment of learning, serving, and building faith.
That's what it's about. Let's go.
Pretty much sums it up. Okay. Today's Rise and Shoutout, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
We are so excited to give you this news. Woo! Producer Colton Potter and his family have welcomed Casey James Potter at 6:09 a.m., 8 pounds, 6 ounces. Congrats to Colton, Allie, Casey. Apparently, Colton lost a debate about naming him Tyrese after Tyrese Halliburton, especially after last night's epic comeback.
Colton's a big Pacers fan.
Pacers. He's from Indiana. He's been our producer the last 2 years, done a great job. We are so excited for their family. He's off on some paternity leave, so we miss him already. But congratulations to the Potter family welcoming Casey to the world. We're happy that everyone's doing great.
Baby Casey.
The newest member of BYU Sports Nation.
Enjoy these moments. It is just so glorious.
I don't think I knew joy until I had
it's the best.
My first kid. And there are lots of ways to have joy. But
Colton's had an exciting last 12 hours.
Right? The Pacers and a baby?
Get some
Holy
sleep.
Mackerel.
All of you. We know the baby will, but come on. Like, Allie and Colton, find some time to rest, please. We're so thrilled for you.
We're going to give you 3 weeks. And then another 3 weeks later.
Deserved. Our thanks to today's guests, Blaine Fowler, Avery Frischknecht, and Ellie Walbrook.
I did an espina.
Are you, though?
Come on, Bad Cats!
For Jerem, I am Spencer. Shout out to Bruce Summerhays. Go Cougs!